Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Give away to dark blue and then to the starry blackness of space. Imagine yourself weightless, spinning and turning, entirely surrounded by the new sensation of falling faster than the horizon. Imagine yourself staring back at Earth, the blue planet, your home. Imagine all of the struggles, all of the wars, the strife. All the love, the loss, the happy things and the sad ones. They say that the devil is in the details, but I think that's wrong. I say that God is in the details, infinitesimal and infinite alike. God exists here in the cosmos and in you simultaneously. Now imagine that we now zoom backwards, towards a spinning orb. Imagine yourself now where you are. Remembering the vision of the blue dot, and ready to do a poet's work. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. And we're here, May 18th, 2018, ready for the last episode of May 2018. I am your host, Michael Amadei. I'm here with my co-host and the man who keeps everything working, Mr. JT. How are you, sir?
I'm all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. A little dramatic there, but it's how I'm feeling, man. It's how I'm feeling.
That's
perspective. It's all about perspective right now. And thank you for indulging my random flight of fancy there, JT, and for everyone listening as well. We're really excited to have you here. We're going to be announcing the Poet of the Month tonight. Now, I have to say, I'm sorry about this. I said I was going to announce it on Facebook this last week, and I totally dropped the ball on it, 100%, mostly because I was getting really, really caught up in school and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But I apologize. I told everybody I wouldn't. I try to live up to what I say I'm going to do, and I didn't do that. So I will announce it tonight. What we're planning on doing is I'll announce it, and then we're not doing the show next week because I'm going to be performing and singing at a graduation, but the week after that.
Yeah.
Feel free. That'll be the week where we call in and share that stuff. Unless you want to find something tonight and share it later on the show.
Yeah.
That works
too. Return engagement, yeah.
Exactly. So that's going to be one of the big things. We're going to have a few segments that we're going to have a return engagement and just a lot of great poetry and community in the meantime. So, JT, what's been going on with you this week? I know you've had a little bit of time because you're not in school directly this week.
Yeah, this week I've actually been doing some pretest for it's the acupuncture tests.
Oh yeah, yeah.
To get these core classes figured out, if I have to take a remedial or not, and I did some retests this week and made sure that I did not have to worry about taking a remedial and or the lab that would go on with the current.
Well, that's been a while since. I mean, this has been since like high school.
Well, yeah, 20
stuff.
Years, 20 plus years. Yeah,
that's not bad, my friend.
So
it's not bad at all.
Yeah, having to remember how to do polynomials and multiplying binomials with.
Yeah
it was. Yeah. I'm like, what?
Sounds like my dating life a few years ago.
Yeah, I guess it did.
Wouldn't mean nomials. It would have been nominals.
Nominals.
Anyway. Anyway, so this week I had the big epic thing that happened this week at my school.
Uh-huh.
Well, two big epic things. Last Sunday,
yes.
Mother's Day, right?
Yes.
You know what I saw? The Wienermobile. The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. It
right
pulled
on.
In to a grocery store. I was there with my father, and just because for the moment I had to act really excited, be like, yes! Yeah, and I just acted like it was the biggest deal, and everybody thought I was nuts, and
well,
it was fun.
Course,
and
of course, fun, yeah.
It was absolutely hilarious. Apparently, you need a master's in marketing to get the job to drive that thing.
Yeah, apparently. It's weird.
Crushed my dreams. Anyway, and then the other big thing, and this is pretty big, field day happened.
Oh.
JT.
Yeah.
Field day.
Field day.
And I won a blue ribbon in every event that the first grade did. Turns out they can't compete, man.
Really?
Not
can't
with,
compete against
not with
you,
a 37
huh?
year old man.
And what events?
Well, there was a 50 yard dash.
Okay.
There was a frisbee toss.
Ooh.
There was a standing jump.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's not
like
that
for distance.
Yeah. So okay. It was not a running jump. So it was a standing jump.
Well, I mean,
beanbag toss.
Cool.
You know, stuff like that. You know, yeah. Kiddie stuff, man.
How many kids did you wind up knocking out with a beanbag?
23.
Awesome.
In that particular one, some of them were really good. So I just figured if I just take them out, I will.
That's true. But, yeah. You just tink.
It's the Roger Stone method of winning the beanbag toss. Actually, I'm totally kidding. I did not knock out a single child. I just went for the knees. Anyway, we're going to be looking at doing a few segments here of five unique poets each. You'll be brought on in the order that you're answered.
Yep.
Okay? Before we get to it, though, I want to lay down a few rules. Number one, once we bring you on the line, please have your poetry ready so we're not waiting for it. I understand if something, you know, like the screen goes off, whatever, but just have it ready so you're not searching for it. Okay? Number two, no hate speech. We don't do it on the show. We will never do it on the show. And that's that. And number three, we try to skew PG-13 so we can have families come on and listen or have children come listen. However, we also realize this is not a venue for censorship. This is a place for art. So if there are some kind of, you know, blue phrases and things like that that work their way in, but it is art and it's all working together, we won't say anything. However, if it gets a little gratuitous, we might jump in and recommend that instead you read it on our After Dark segment, which we do the first Friday of every month.
Which will be the next show.
Which will be the next show, which will be June what?
First.
June 1, my last day of school. So the next time we have a show, I will have finished for the school year, and I will have already grown my hair about 3 feet.
That's amazing.
I'm like a chia pet at the end of the year.
Totally
it's
weird.
Amazing. Yeah. All right, so let's get ready to do our first segment of five callers, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry, Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and welcome back to the first segment. Now, we say we're free from hate during that last thing. I got to tell you, there's something I hate.
Uh-oh.
Bad spaghetti.
You know,
is there anything worse, man? Because being Catholic, I've been to a lot of bad spaghetti dinners.
I'm not a Catholic.
Yeah.
Protestant. I've been to a lot of bad spaghetti.
What the hell is that?
It's the sauce. It's always the sauce.
And the noodles themselves, you can tell, like, these are some BS noodles, man.
Well, yeah, they're buy in bulk, and they tend to be a little...
Well, I mean, you're not going to buy a noodle at a time. I mean, you technically buy them all in bulk.
But they've been sitting around in their own water, and it just kind of,
yeah.
But to me, it's always the sauce. It has to deal with the sauce.
Yeah, that's a good point. I've been thinking about this. I'm having all these TV ideas, man. I had one religious fundraiser food makeover where you bring a bunch of chefs, you know?
Yeah.
That was to complement the one that I posted online the other day, which was where you have high-end food critics reviewing fast food restaurants while workers throw really fancy vegan food at them. That was an idea. But the other one I have, and this is one I'm really thinking has got a lot of legs, okay? It's called Bear With Me. It's where a bunch of people go outside and they try to live like a bear.
Ooh. It's going to be tough because, you know, typically bears got what? Berries, some leaves, and fish.
Trash. People.
Hopefully not, but once they start diving into people, then we got to put them down.
That's right. See, it's the same with people. You call them cannibals, you just throw them in a, you know, anyway.
Bear with me.
Bear with me. Yeah, I think that's a winner.
Do you put them in the same area as bears?
See, that's scary, because that could be a really short season.
I mean, it could, but that's why I'm wondering, because, you know, bears only exist in a certain area.
Here's a flip, though. Bear with me. People dressed like bears living a normal life. Or we just bring bears into regular life.
Have a bear live
corporate
with me.
Job.
Yeah, it's a winner. It's a winner all the way.
All right. That's enough of that crap. Okay.
Hey,
we're going to... Well, we're actually jinxing on that now. We're going to actually reveal the poet of the month right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right, here we go. POM for WPOM 2018, May, is Gwendolyn Brooks. And here's a short bio. I'm just reading this from poets.org. Yeah. Gwendolyn Brooks was born in Topeka, Kansas in 1917 and raised in Chicago. She was the author of more than 20 books of poetry, including Children Coming Home, Blacks to Disembark, The Near Johannesburg Boy, and other poems, Riot, In the Mecca, The Bean Eaters, Annie Allen, and for Annie Allen, she actually received the Pulitzer, and then she also wrote A Street in Bronzeville. She wrote numerous other books, including a novel, but in 1968, she was named Poet Laureate for the state of Illinois. In 1985, she was the first black woman appointed as consultant in poetry to the Library of Congress, a post now known as the Poet Laureate. Yep. She also received an American Academy of Arts and Letters Award, the Frost Medal, a National Endowment for the Arts Award, the Shelley Memorial Award, and fellowships from the Academy of American Poets and the Guggenheim Foundation. She lived in Chicago until her death on December 3rd, 2000.
Wow.
So she's a serious boss. She's an amazing writer. I found her through her poetry first, and it's so interesting. It has such its own feel. What I'd really recommend for anybody wanting to get into her first, really try to enter into her poetry if you don't know who she is, look up We Real Cool, and it's a short piece, but man, it packs a punch. So that is Gwendolyn Brooks is our May 2018 Poet of the Month. With that theme song, I have to think about phrasing.
You do.
Because it really could just cut in when I say Poet of the Month, and I just...
Okay.
let's go straight into the callers. Let's go to let's go to Michigan for our longest term supporter, someone we just love on the show so much. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan. Hello, Dennis.
Hello. It must be Friday night.
It looks like it. That's what my calendar says, at least. How are you?
One of my favorite days of the week.
Hey, ours too. It looks like a bit of
just
a quiet night,
of
but
you.
well, thank you. It looks like a bit of a quiet night, but that's okay. You know, it's a small gathering at the moment. And that's just fine. So,
that's
do you have?
All right, small intimate gathering.
That's it. That's
poets.
It. Of poets.
But there'll be a few coming along, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what do you have for us?
How have you been?
Oh, we've been good.
What do I have?
Yeah.
Okay.
we've been good.
I'll jump right into it then.
Okay.
Our friend George Wiley won't be able to be here tonight, and he asked me if I would read one of his poems. And of course, George has such a different voice than I have. But I told him, sure, I give it a shot. I read everybody else's poems, so, you know, why exclude him? So I have a George Wiley poem tonight. And the title is Jefferson and Adams from the Grave. All about the graveyard, dark, were faced flags and memories. The dark wind spurned the fog of time, and the strangeness came from fateful night. Distant drums, the syncopated toil of fear and scourge. The songs of hate, the bloods of war, reptilian struggles against the poor, the cries of freedom, the gush of fear, the rolling steps of tyranny. The death song of mortality, the bleeding out of hope and soul. A shattered grave stood there named Dignity. Another read Democracy. A charred and leaning stone named Charity. A monument for love and truth. There in the den stood a ragged group, soon disemboweled by the uniformed troop. The barrage of cannon lit the sky, marauding out the stars of hope. The heart of peace lay dying there. Its flag was shred, its streamers torn, and there, amidst the smoke and seething soil, lay the carcass of the Republic. And in this carnage of beastly times did Tom and John rise from their graves, tore off their shrouds, revealing the jarring scene and peered out about with shocked chagrin. And in this confluence of dread, before them stood a child with her doll. Her eyes were wide, her sweater torn. She stood in mud and asked of them, "Dear Tom and John, what hopes you had. Your tower of freedom has fallen bad. You built our castle and now it's burned. How can you help me find some hope? I don't need much. Just make me safe. Something to eat, something to hold." The founders peered at each other, gathered their wits and raised their eyes. Said John, "There is just one chance, my child, to gather up, to gain some ground." "Indeed there is," said Tom. "The chance is dim, the mountain tall with precipice. We'll hold your hand, dear sanguine child. Don't drop the doll. It is our touch. The doll of freedom is our best wager. We'll use it as a book of strength. We'll march it down the street of hope. We'll dress it with enlightenment. And in the slimmest chance of good, the doll will find a million hands. And John and I and you and strength will proudly walk the gauntlets. We'll have to find the corrupted ones and strip them of their hubris. We'll need to squelch self-interest and greed, rebuild the roads of democracy. So take our hands, dear child of trust, and hold your doll up high. So down the way strode the four of them, beneath a strange embodied glow. Soon followed ragtag youngsters, then gray-haired folks of promise. And if they prevailed, we do not know. The story still unfolds. They may have perished, may have won. The outcome lies with us. We must bring candles, food, and light, and re-sown flags of freedom. We'll be the minstrels to the city, harbingers of liberty, singers of songs. We must clear off the road for Tom and John, the little girl and her precious doll. And do not sing to me the dirge of fatal cynicism. There is a way. We have to pay. The cost may be in blood. End of poem.
Whoa.
That was really powerful.
Yeah. Would have helped if I pronounced some of the words right, but no, that's okay.
No, it went really well, Dennis.
I missed a few, but I think the point was made, and George really laid some words down there, some things to think about.
Oh, he really did, and a great read, Dennis, too. I mean, wow.
I mean, I think he's going to come back. It's going to be an exercise in what a poem sounds like by the author and what it sounds like by somebody else reading it.
Sure.
And I think we're in the future, we're going to hear him read it too and hear what it sounds like from his voice. So that's going to be interesting too. But he wishes he could have been here tonight, but he had family duties he had to take care of. And I'm sure he'll catch you on the replay, and we'll more than likely see him next week.
Sounds great. Well, two weeks. I'll be standing up in a pulpit singing to the masses during a mass next week. But 2 weeks from tonight, absolutely. We hope he's back.
Yeah, and I hope to be in Denver next May 30th.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
I may or not give you a call. Let's see. The time restrictions are, but I'll do my best to holler at you when I'm in town.
Well, sounds wonderful. We'd love to see if we can make it work.
All right. I've taken up enough time. We'll let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'll say God bless.
Hey, God bless. Thanks so much. Appreciate you, Dennis.
Thank you.
And that was Dennis Collin from Michigan leading us off here in our first segment. All right. JT, are you ready to travel to that magical land Kentucky?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Best chicken in the world. Hey,
Best chicken in the world.
How are you, sir?
Where, pray tell, is the best chicken in the world?
Well, I've heard Kentucky, but I referred to Kentucky as a magical land, and I had to justify it quickly. So that was the first thing.
Well, I will not argue with the Colonel Sanders. I think that's what you're perhaps referring to.
But I'm sure that you get that all the time. Is there something else more magical about Kentucky that I could have mentioned?
Only myself, perhaps.
Well, you know what? What the hell was I thinking, Philip?
No, you say whatever you want about Kentucky, sir. We do have the best bourbon and perhaps the only state where you can actually call it bourbon, but
you know,
I think everybody knows that. You
know,
we have
point.
Horse racing, and basketball,
Now, if we mix the horse racing with the bourbon and the chicken, maybe a basketball.
Yeah.
Hey, and Philip.
Like a good evening. Yeah. Okay. And me. Yes.
You don't have to be riding the horse necessarily.
I just want to know where the
that would be kind of like John Candy. I don't know which movie he was in where he played the jockey. That was just hilarious.
Oh, that's
just
right.
That alone. I forgot about that.
I was picturing you more as like the Roman emperor and gladiator doing the thumbs up or the thumbs down and deciding people's fates.
Oh, yeah, you're definitely feeding my ego. Well, thank you, sir. I'm going to dub you the poet of the month now.
Oh, well, thank you, sir.
You're welcome. And also, congratulations to you, JT, for braving these tests so you can get on to this this whole education thing. This is all leading to a job, right? Or you have a job, and this is going to be like...
It will be changing careers. So
Changing careers.
Yeah, okay. I've already done a semester of school. It's just this AccuPlacer test is, it's the, hey, how well do you know the English language in the written form?
Right.
And can you do these math problems?
Right.
They're general studies portion. So have to pass those at a certain point to make sure I can actually take the right class for my degree. But yeah, so thank you. Wow. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, you're very welcome. I'm excited all around and happy. And I know you got to be itching there, Michael. You've only got one more week of school and then you can kind of go crazy.
Well, I got about two more weeks. I end on June 1st. I don't know about me going crazy, but I think I'm just trying to keep the kids from going crazy. It's like trying to hold the door closed, you know, before it pops open and I can't control it anymore.
I hear you. Well, I'm so happy for both of you, and cheers to summer break. And before summer break gets here, I will get to my poem and get out of the way so we have these next hungry poets to get on here and do their thing on the mic. I'm bringing a couple of new pieces tonight, the first one, and then I'll read in the return engagement the second one. This one, I'm calling it Catalog and Critique, and I have a brief inscription here that reads, Leibniz asserts that the basic individuals of an acceptable ontology are all monads, i.e. immaterial entities lacking spatial parts. And that comes from the Cambridge Dictionary of Philosophy, page 426. And here we go. It's broken up into three parts. The first, one, Tower of Babel as I. Those grotesque gifts of early abuses, when traum upon the head awakens unknowns lurking under a psyche's unparalleled depths, auroras, savage monstrosities, gestalt horrors, and an acerbic laugh at death, secretly desiring her quickened embrace. All the nascent scaffolding that fell before one's eye becomes fully aware of its reflection. Mysteries immersed in mirrors, recovered by gap-jawed insomnia during throes of decompression sickness. Deep retrievals out of the depths, de profundis. Eyes painting themselves in arabesque delusions. Beliefs that trespass against epistemology and its limits. Two, appetites of he and she. Dug out nearly all remains embedded once in each pronoun.
his loincloth basement flooded by decades of seminal distraction, pornography according to fetishes, and unashamed depravity gone all the way back toward his overripe, eager innocence, vanilla images, diaphanous lingerie that piqued early masculine interests, gone unnoticed today, limp and sickly impotent. All those numerous love ideals draped in Florentine dresses from arranged and elective marriages. Her devout eyeball-sized ovaries slowly withering within upon a sinewy tree of knowledge. Such sour wine unsavory, tastes of putrefying dregs, fermented stillbirths with and without names. 3. It housed in thou. Reduced monads down to it, unknowable in daily life, sublime, a single thought cradled in silence, surrounded by unbounded space, at uncounted light-year distances, the geometry of manifolds. And there it is, my friends.
I love that piece. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
I also appreciate that little jazz piece you sent me today. That was shared. That was really funny.
I was going to just send it to you, Philip, and then I thought the rest of the world needed to be aware of it.
Oh, but the rest of the world needs to hear that.
I think no one else but you actually listened, though, because no
one. it cracked me up.
Well, like, so it's I think it's the guy who started the show Archer, and he got a bunch of money. Yeah, and he got a bunch of money, and he decided with this money he was going to make a jazz album. So he gets all these musicians together, and they're great jazz players. And he's like, "I'll be on piano," and he sits down and he just starts doing that. He can't play at all. He's never played piano, and you can just see them all going, "What the hell is this guy doing?"
Great. I'm so glad you told me he's on Archer, because I've actually recently watched part of that on Netflix.
That show is nuts. It's funny. It's nuts. And
yes, it is.
Yeah. So I think so. I guess that gives it some more context. But the idea of calling the song "I Can't Play Piano" Part One is pretty amazing.
I ate it up, sir. Thank you so much. I look forward to the next 3 years. And cheers to you both.
Hey, cheers to you, Philip. Thank you so much.
Bye.
And that was Philip calling from Kentucky, the place where they drink bourbon while eating chicken and riding horses while holding a basketball.
Works for me.
Hey, Kentucky is a talented, talented state. But let's go to another talented state, Alabama. When Stan calls in, which he will be doing any moment.
Post-haste momentarily.
Post haste. Yes. Isn't post haste kind of like saying it's always the last place you find it?
No. Post haste right now.
All right.
Hey. Hey, Stan.
Hey, Stan, how's it going?
It's going great.
Wonderful. Go ahead, sorry.
I was about to say the Kentucky Derby could be interesting if both the jockey and the horse partook of the bourbon.
That's what I was thinking. I was totally thinking that. I'm going, who's drinking the bourbon?
I was thinking jockeys, but if you have a bunch of drunk horses going everywhere, I mean, that's going to be
hilarious.
They're all going to end up on the green eating the grass is what's going to happen.
That's fine.
You know, it's funny, Stan, at one point, I think I've done the math. I think it was 8 horses was the most I ever actually owned at one point. Now, I had more under my care, but 8 horses is a lot of damn horses, and I've spent a lot of time around horses, and I'm convinced that while they're beautiful and majestic animals, they're also, a lot of times, dumb as a box of rocks. And I just really look at them and kind of shake my head and say, okay, everybody who loves horses, you do what you want to do with it. I'm going to be over here.
Yes. Yes, one must have some patience with those hay burners. Yes, they must.
Well, it's true, especially when you're paying for the hay they're burning. You know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
So, Stan, how's everything been going? How was the last week?
Well, last week was pretty good. I hit, there was a nice, like, tribute to Mama or Deji I got to be a part of.
Nice.
I checked out, well, actually, I checked out a couple other spoken word venues.
Cool.
Had some fun with Nyla this week.
All right.
And if things go as planned, this coming Thursday, I could find myself helping her as co-host.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. So
it's been moving right along, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it sounds like it. That's great. We're happy to hear that.
So I thought I'd bring something from that show, which was off a prompt or an exercise she wanted us to try. She wanted us to do indoor weather.
Okay.
And that was just basically like describing through weather conditions and such what's going on in, you know, in the house and like in the kitchen or whatever. Well, I just went ahead and did this piece. It's called Changes in the Weather. And I just figured I'd do it as a weather report on the start of a morning. And here we go. Before sunrise, expect patchy fog of consciousness with intermittent gusts of yawns. Cold front encountered by bare feet on hardwood floors. Slippers recommended. In the bathroom area, cooler conditions, results of porcelain and tile fronts. Pre-dawn drizzle expected at Porcelain Bowl Bay with a possible maelstrom if handle is pushed. Moving on to Kitchen County, early humid drizzles in coffee maker corner with dustings in 2 cups of creamer and sugar. Sunny conditions in the kitchen as white ceiling and tiles reflect overhead light. Returning to the bedroom sees somewhat disheveled conditions after late night passing of passionate tempest. As the sunlight of your heart rises and smiles, expect a warm front of affection to move in. As you both travel back to kitchen counter of Kitchen County, coffee will disperse the early haze with brighter, warmer conditions expected. As you enjoy your early morning, you'll hear some rumbling and mumblings of 2 young fronts. By end of breakfast, be prepared for possible gale force, even tornadic events, as these 2 young fronts converge. The building energy of 2 well-rested children. Happy Saturday, and peace.
Yep.
Yep. I really enjoyed that one. What did you think, JT?
That was good. Very fun.
Thank you for the humor. You know, it's we get kind of sporadic bursts of humor, you know, in our everyday lives, especially on social media or whatever. But it's nice to hear a humorous piece, kind of the way you present it. Thanks for that.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
We enjoyed it.
This was fun to write, too. It really was.
Yeah, it's a great write. It seems like it was fun.
Yeah.
My favorite pieces like that is, and I get this with Mark Twain, where you get the sense that he was having fun writing it as well.
Oh, I can remember listening to Hal Holbrook in his one-man show doing Mark Twain, talking about when, as a writer, he was out there as a newsman. He was out there writing, and they'd sent him to the Hawaiian Islands, and or what they call Polynesia then.
Yeah.
And he was out there, and he said, and as I walked down the shore, I came upon a bevy of nude bathing ladies. He goes, this was the sort of local color I was after for my newspaper. So I went down and sat on their clothes so they wouldn't be stolen. Yes, with Mark Twain. Yes, I love that man.
Beautiful.
Probably one of the great American humorists.
Oh, absolutely. Really. Absolutely. Right. Hands down. Boy. All right. Stan, thanks so much. We're going to get moving, but hopefully we'll talk to you during the return engagement.
Absolutely. And on to the next.
Thank you, sir. And that was Stan Collin from Alabama, the great humorous piece. So he was great. Now we're going to go to someone who I think he's done humorous once or twice, but he's generally more of a romantic, kind of epic, classical voice. Let's head now to Titus, early morning in the UK. Good morning, Titus.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
We're doing well, thank you, and thanks for waiting.
That's all right, no problem.
All right.
I tell you what, I was on a cloud when Stanley was reading that. I mean, talk about light.
I know.
I mean, my stuff is really lead compared with that, I think.
I understand the feeling of that. You know, I there's a lot of times I wish that I could be that light with my writing as well, but I think I lean more your direction myself, so I can appreciate.
I'm not a jealous person about finance or you know, status, but one thing I do envy is the voice of a reader who really does sell the piece, you know, and Stan done that. I mean, really, really very well.
I understand. Yeah. I think people could argue that about you as well. So what do you have for us?
Well, people say the British accent compared with all the American accents is a bit different. But I've been stuck in these writing pieces for people, you know, their dedications. I suppose it was a fad at first, but it's become very serious now, about each being an earth angel, so making people feel good in themselves. And this one is for two people, Elise Lahr and her husband Richard Lee McCarthy, trying to put the two together, I suppose, spiritually. And it starts off with the reasons there are two angels with each of us is that they are two kinds, one acting for our feelings and the other on our thoughts. So this is for those two, and this is in my epic poem. And it begins like this. Emphatic as one's state of awareness is, one's caring nature is to share, lining the clouds with those martyrs whose silence has suffered lineal in each alternate rank, both descendants who have scriptured as syllabi. Saints are sporadic in their movements. A descriptive means portrays eagerly pursues an ubiquitous trait in which anywhere is everywhere. Legations of spirited all notion, survival, as a free will shall prevail. All inner being our heart and souls replenish has given you a soteria. Having such gifts, goodness of kind, you will find will not diminish. Remember, not forgetting who you are, so wonderful to see your stars. Right now, closer to home, the harmony of birds all words will scatter. Infinite reams, you'll imagine how many pairs of binary stars still oculi, collectively superfluous, the warmth of character each holds ad hoc. However, given this purpose of illustrating for you, love does cherish autonomy. In keeping alive, calm, adjacent, the outcome to some nova, reliving the day as if they'd own one another. Their love as a spoiler demands nothing more than love surrounding nature being moored. Lakeside, the lavish ideal spot where sounds of water as ripples twirl, evanescent moments have gathered. Our glorious times together sage excludes an age, no age at all to love but once, those in retrograde. Mention earth angels, we surround ourselves with these in blossom. Comfort of home, a promising welcome to anyone becomes etheric. Concealed is a self-worth, the morphic state of complexity, it's magic. Artisans are we to establish directives, finds a backcloth, our nirvana. Realistically, next to home, the necessity for need is sincerely so near to conform variety with these illusions. Nevertheless, if true or not, heaven must exist for earth angels whose soothing words I wish. Your future is in good hands. Thoughts are a delightful distance away. End of poem.
That was a lovely piece, Titus.
I would have loved to have put it with that music that you had, you know, just after the intro. You had
beautiful. Just look it up on YouTube. Just look up my last name, Amade, and then To Leave the Earth Was My Wish, and that's a piece that I put up on YouTube a few years ago.
But that is a backing music for those words would have felt really nice.
Well, feel free to use it. It's completely it's my property, so you can use it as you like.
I might put that on SoundCloud then.
That'd be great.
Thank you.
Of course.
Okay then.
Thank you, Titus. Goodbye. Thank you.
Bye.
And that was Titus calling from the UK early morning. We appreciate it so much that he takes the time to call and gets up so early.
Yeah.
It takes a level of commitment that, you know, to do it week after week after week. To do it once or twice, sure. But do it how he does it, man, it takes commitment. So let's now go to a poet that we absolutely love and adore on the show. Let's go to Mama Oladeji. Hello, Mama. Are you there? Oh, it sounds like we're having that issue. So, Mama, if you can hear us, we can't hear you. Hang up. Call us right back. That's strange. It usually doesn't start at just five callers.
Yeah.
But, JT, I might have you hang up on that and have her just give us a call. Oh, she did. So she can hear us. Great. We're just waiting for a call back. We're going to do another segment. I know we have less listeners than normal right now. But we are going to we'll do a second segment after this and see who calls in. And then, depending on that, we'll just go right into the return engagement.
Yeah.
It sounds like it'll be a good time anyway.
Yeah.
So let's give Mama a couple moments here. So so JT, when do you go back to school? When do you start school again?
So my classes should be starting, I think, right around the end, the last week of May.
Really?
Yeah, so it's like a 3-week break and then boom, you're right back in.
That makes sense. Oh, there she is. Perfect. Let's take it. All right. Hello, Mama. How are you?
I'm good.
All right. We can hear you now.
Okay. I was hollering. I'm here.
Well, you know, it's something weird with the software on our end. We still keep updating it and everything. We just can't seem to get this problem to go away. And we're trying to work it out. All right. Well, we're happy you're here.
Well, thank you. Now, okay, JT was supposed to explain something to me.
Okay.
So, Mama, it is a test called an Accuplacer. It's to accurately place you into the correct class for college. So, in essence, if you knew your elementary algebra, you could go into regular college algebra and be okay. If you didn't, you would have to take a remedial course to get up to speed for everybody else.
Wow.
So that's what I took. Okay. I took one of the, it's a placer test to make sure I am on par with everything.
That's really cool. Thank you. That's good knowledge to know, because my granddaughter just got a full scholarship.
Oh, good for her.
Yes, I'm so proud of her. She's the one that found her mom dead at age 15, and now she's like 18. She's finishing high school and starting college at the same time. She was taking college courses on the side. So I'm going to ask her, did she take her Accuplacer?
She may not have needed to, but yeah.
But I just want to know if she knows about it. She might be able to skip up a couple of courses or something.
Yeah.
Well, tell her if you want her to do that, tell her to look up CLEP, CLEP. That's the way to get out of, that's the way to test out of courses.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Good information.
Yeah, no problem.
Good information. How's everybody?
You know, we're doing well. We're doing real well. I'm pushing towards the end of the year. I know, JT, you're kind of enjoying your time, except you did the test stuff this week. Mama, how about you? What's going on with you?
Well, I, like Stan said, they gave me an awesome tribute yesterday. I did invite all of you up. I guess some of y'all couldn't come, but I was taken aback. And so I'm here just full of joy and feeling fully loved, as I always do when I come here. But it was just a great experience. And I think that's going to be one of my last in-depth features, because it's a lot. It's a lot.
Sure.
And it's been 70 exciting years. It's a lot to go over. But this one is called, one of the poets found this poem that I wrote. I didn't even have a copy of it. And I found a copy to read it to you all. She read it so beautifully, it almost made me cry, because I didn't even remember what Facebook had did with the poem. I couldn't find it. But I found it, and it doesn't have a title, So I'm going to give it a title. It's called, I'm going to call it Dimensional Doors. And go like this. I am redefining myself. I am not who I thought I was. Every time I lose someone, I find that I have lost a piece of myself. I was light years ahead of most of my peers. Now it appears that time has stood still. I, who have seen, done, and knew and forgotten more than I can describe, find that I have been launched into a dimension that disallows me to see clearly, offers me no answers. My loved ones and my equals are transitioning faster than I can blink, faster than I can think. Those who define me are no more. The few left that know the core of me are also preparing to leave. This person that I am or that I've become is complex. My earthly work is no longer important, for I have done nothing great. But I stay grounded, I stay rooted as a spiritual being in a human body, as a grandmother, a friend to many, a confidant to some, a provider and a teacher and a comforter to others. I am a solid institution within myself. Somehow I would show up where I was needed. I covered my many flaws with understanding, and if I exposed my shortcomings and helped whoever was put in my path, I only hope to save people from making the same mistakes. What was learned was that people would rather make their own mistakes than land on me in this board game called life. I was too harsh on some, too rigid with others, and too lenient when a firm hand was needed. I am the bad example. I am the one whose tolerance card was always full. When your 5 minutes was up, I would move on. I am the messenger that was killed. I am the bitter sister, the unforgiving daughter, the scolding woman. I loved most people from a distance, never allowing anyone to get too close to me. So whose am I? I am the termagant, the impatient, the rough draft, never finished, the unpolished diamond, the most clever fox in the pack, the sharpest knife in the drawer. I am the spiritual being doing time on the physical plane. I am the halfway marker. I am multifaceted, never vain, too sane, crazy like a fox. I know things, but not best at expressing. So this is who I am, unsugarcoated and real, unpretentious, a non-believer. I only know what I know, and I do not believe fat meat is greasy. You have to show me, love, not tell me. I am a person that's caught in a human trap. I've been kidnapped, raped, and slapped, accused, abused, beaten down by the trusted hands of a man, let down by my friends that stuck around to see what they could get when I hit the ground. But then I was protected by true friends who are my angels and never went too far. Stayed close to me when I threw tantrums. And when I would give out tongue lashings and character bashing, they stood by. They loved me in spite of myself. As a matter of fact, if anyone else had acted the way I act, they would have seen my back. So even though my mama never pampered me, I have been pampered and catered to as if I were a queen. So someone always looked up to me and took up my slack. Rather got me back on track. So who am I? I'm a sum total of all of the above, of everything mentioned. The child of a pimp, the daughter of a resentful mother, and the strong sister that resisted. I am the one that went through the dimensional doors. Standing side by side, I entered door number one. Whichever door we go through, each time space is behind those doors, the energy, dimensional doors, standing side by side. The new world order and the slave trade exist simultaneously. Whatever was still is. Whatever existed there was existing here, and it continues to exist in the future. Door number one and two are past and present. Door three, I look to my left, I see the past sunsets. Over my shoulder to the right, I see the future, where the sun never rises nor sets. I am standing here in the dawning of now, as I realize that these doors all lead to one big dimensional space, and I wonder, I see myself being born, living, and transcending before now, after happening unilaterally, simultaneously, in different spheres. So who am I? In peace.
Wow. There's so much going on in that piece. It's hard to comment on it other than saying it was really richly put together. It was like a really finely woven tapestry.
Give thanks. I'm glad I found it.
Yeah, I'm glad you found it too. Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, that was great.
Welcome. Thank you, guys.
Thank
Love you,
Mommy.
All.
Love you too. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right.
All right. Thank you. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio, location of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which, by the way,
yes,
just, I don't know why it took so long, just inducted the band The Moody Blues.
Yeah, I noticed that.
That's crazy. Now, a few years ago, not far from here, JT, you remember there was a Media Play CD bookstore, whatever.
Yeah.
And I remember one day, my dad waking me up when I was a teenager, being like, come with me. We go down. And it was an early morning. I think they opened Media Play really early, and there was a line coming out of the door. And I go, who is this? And we're in line, and it wasn't very long because we were still early. We get in there, and there's an older gentleman sitting behind a table just signing stuff. And it turned out it was Mike Pinder, the keyboard player for the Moody Blues.
Mm.
So I go in, I sit down, and my dad's like, you know, this is my son Michael. He plays piano. He's a keyboard player. He's doing all this. And Mike Pinder, no joke, didn't even act concerned about a line behind me. He sat and talked to me about music for like 20 minutes. And he just kept it going, was interested. And, you know, it was a really great conversation. It reminds me a lot. My dad did another time, the friend of mine and I. He goes, hey, we're going to a polo match.
Okay.
What? So we go all the way out to this thing, and the polo match finishes, and this little bandstand sets up. And he goes, yeah, come over here. And we just sit down right in front of the little bandstand. Ginger Baker from Cream. Playing. The guy had been deported, right? Well, he got deported right after that. But this is like a rock icon, as close to me as you are right
now.
And so this is how I was raised, going to these different things and seeing these people. And but seeing the Moody Blues and seeing Mike Pinder up there with him, I thought, man, what a cool guy. What a cool band. And I actually found him. I was playing him on the way over here. I was like, Moody Blues are great. Anyway, all right, so we've just finished with this segment. However, we do have a submission from one of our callers I want to read. It's not a very long one. This is from Jim Rothline, and he just has a quick note. Because of mandatory overtime, he's not able to show up for this show this week, so he asked me if I could read this. It's called Compound Interest. Here we go. The ideal championed on the small screen of how our lives should be, belied the reality underneath, the ugly truth they dared not speak of. Wars for what? And boys in open caskets, symptoms of the sickness coursing through the nation's soul. As the winds of change blew, the buried refuse of one generation came to light, burned by the fires of the next. Midst the upheaval of a decade, the fractured goodness of the parents splintered further. Through the fractured goodness of the children, whose investment for the future came at a cost, and may soon come due for this present generation at compound interest. And he says, thank you, Dilly Dilly. And that was Compound Interest by Jim. Jim, it's not a thing, but great piece. All right, so we're going to try a second segment.
All right. We're going to see who else. I mean, we're a little light on callers. That's okay.
It's okay.
We just want to see who wants to call in and read for the first time here for this next segment. So it's 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
Rock the mic. Rock the mic. When you rock, nothing can stop you. When you suck, nothing can save you. Rock the mic. Rock the mic. Hot. Hot, hot like this. I won't mess around. I won't waste your time. When you rock. When you rock. My name is Lenny C., and I'm here to rock the mic. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we are back in the second segment of the evening. We only had three callers this time, which means after we finish this, we will be automatically going to...
The Return Engagement!
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 Yep, so that's what that means. Let's go right now to the land of magic.
So that's what that means.
I guess. I don't
Let's
know.
Go
Connecticut.
Right now to the land.
Hello.
Hello, Barbara. How are you this evening?
I'm good. I was watching this series that came back this year again and got involved. That's all I can say.
I understand. You know, sometimes we have it. Sometimes we have kind of a low traffic night, and that's okay. No big deal. But you know, we're here. We're glad you're here. And I'm going to give you the stage, okay?
Thank you. Tomorrow is would have been my husband's 76th birthday. And so to commemorate this year, we are going to the new City Stadium, and we are going to see the Mets play. Anyway, that is what he would have liked to do for his birthday, and so we're doing it. Hopefully it'll be a nice day, but I doubt it. It's going to be raining. Anyway, in my book, I have this poem for him, which is called Birthday Cake in Heaven, for how on what would have been his birthday. I wrote it the year that he passed away, because he passed away May 2nd, and his birthday was May 19th. So I didn't write a new one this year, but maybe tomorrow I will. But anyway, this is in my book. You'll probably forget me living with and without hell. Hold on. Have to lubricate. Okay. Birthday cake in heaven. Today was your birthday, and you were not here to celebrate. Though if you had been here, you would probably have said, no, I don't want cake, for you were not one for birthdays. It was always I who splurged and went big on birthdays, decorating your chair and having a birthday morning with presents and soft kisses with your favorite breakfast food in front of you. And as you ate your eggs and read your cards, we waited for your smile, for that was our goal when we were around you. That smile healed all, and we cherished it when it came. And at night, the usual cake with the happy birthday words, and again your smile as you accepted a piece, and we knew. Although you protested, your smile showed how much it mattered to you. Now I wonder, are you having birthday cake in heaven? Are you making friends, or did you meet your parents? And is your mother smiling at you as you shovel in the last bite of cake? End poem.
I know that's a really, really heartfelt piece for you, and it's such a strong theme, understandably, you know, of your work.
Yeah, this was when I wrote this. I was sad, very sad, of course, because it was only like 17 days after he passed away, and it's just, you know, just was so hard to think about him not being there for his birthday and tomorrow too. And it's again a very sad experience that is going to be made happier by hopefully, you know, going to the game. We're not sure because it's kind of rainy here and they're predicting rain and cold, but, you know, we'll hope for the best. And just, you know, what can I say? He's gone 4 years, and, you know, I haven't forgotten him. Probably, you know, like you said, you'll forget me. No, I don't think so. And just very, you know, what can I say about that poem?
Well, I mean, there's nothing that you need to say. I mean, I think it says everything that it needs to.
Pretty much, I guess. I should have written something this, you know, this time, but I don't know. The day got to me, and maybe tomorrow. But I think that he would be happy to know that I'm still thinking about him. That's, you know, that's the thing.
Sure.
Anyway, I'm going to get off the phone and let your second caller call in, and talk to you later, hopefully. Okay.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Thank you, Barbara. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut with a very heartfelt piece, very loving piece. I like that. Now we're going to head over to Texas to visit with Eric. Hello, Eric. How you doing?
Doing good, man.
All right. Sounds good. So how was this last week?
It was pretty hectic.
I understand that.
No, I work at East Texas Grass and Stone. I'm a laborer, and I do lots of cleaning of mud and mortar mixed with water, and I also polish, and I pick up heavy stone, put it on a pallet, stack it up, and I really just do whatever I had to last week. Last week, I had to clean out an 18-wheeler, the inside, and there was a sleeper. And this guy had the sleeper, and he lived there inside of it with the company. And he never cleaned it for like 7 or 8 years.
Ooh,
and I got to clean it.
That sounds
And he
lovely.
Smoked, too. He smoked cigarettes, too. So.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty crazy, man.
Yeah, that sounds like you're doing some sort of penance there, my friend.
Yeah, I'm doing penance. Yeah, you could say that.
I understand.
I felt like Sisyphus.
Uh huh.
You guys know who Sisyphus
is? Oh yeah, I know who Sisyphus is. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I totally
when
get
had
this.
A, when he got when he got doomed to move a boulder up and down through the rest of his life, and then. The other myth, he got, he's hung up by his arms on a mountain, and he gets vultures eat him, I believe, and then he's reincarnated, and then he has to do it all over again.
Yep.
So,
well, you know, it's in, I guess, in West Point for the officers in training there, if there's been a behavioral, you know, kind of punishment handed down, they like to put you on what they call Sisyphus duty. And your job is they give you a wooden rifle, I guess. And they just have you patrol for like 5 hours or something. Just this useless block of concrete. It's just no use. It's not doing anything at all. And it's punishment, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, that's enough of that. It's kind of crazy, but. But at any rate, yeah. But Eric, I'll give you the stage, buddy. I'll let you read, okay?
All right, I got two pieces. Can we do two pieces or just one or what?
Let's do the one, and then we're going to be going to the return engagement right after this. Just call back in and do it then.
Okay, cool. That works for me.
All right, cool.
I'm just making sure. I didn't know. All right, this is one I've actually read on the show already before, but I like it, and it's an oldie but a goodie, as I call them. So. All right, hang on a second. Let me highlight. I got it on my computer, so let me highlight it real quick. Helps to see. So, all right, then. All right, this is called Manifesto to All Creators. Manifesto to All Creators. Write unwritten rights. Sing unsung songs. Paint unpainted paintings. Sculpt unsculpted sculptures. Create uncreated creations. Think unthinkable thoughts. Obtain everything untenable. Unattainable, conquer unconquerable conquerors, praise unpraised persons, speak unspeakable solutions, favor unfavorable futures, surpass unsurpassed surpasses, hail unhailed heroes, read the unreadable, know the unknowable knowledge, reach unreachable realizations, enlighten unenlightened enforcers, fulfill unfulfilled fulfillments, tell untold tales, doubt undoubtable doctrines, destroy indestructible dogmas, deem disciplines dangerously deceptive, decide dictators' destructions, deviate designated decisions, plant unplantable plants, mesmerize unmesmerizable men, petrify, unpetrified, unpetrified. Oh, sorry, I messed up. Petrified, unpetrified, petrifications. Question, unquestionable questions. Heed, unheeded heeds. Indulge in indulgences. Adore, unadorned adorations. Comprehend, incomprehensible comprehensions. Apply all, inapplicable applications at any time and anywhere, reveal unrevealed revels or reveals, sorry, messed up again, adhere unadhered adherences, find unfindable finds, ponder ponderers ponderings, wander wanderers wanderings, determinedly dig undug digs, face unfaced faces, research unresearched researches, teach untaught teachers, teach unpreachable preachers, critique critics condemnations, achieve unachievable achievements, believe unbelievable beliefs, ignore institutions ignorance, invent uninvented inventions, intend unintended intentions, explore unexplored explorations, drink undrinkable drinks, live lovely lives, seek unsought schooling, fight for freedoms, authenticate inauthentic authentications, solve unsolvable solutions, endure ecstatic endeavors, silence silencers sciences, free unfree feudalism, tantalize truths terrifically, revel rebels resolutions, unchain chained chances, train untrained trainees, reestablish revolutionaries reign. That's the end piece.
Nice piece, man. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I actually wrote it. I think I wrote it back in college, actually. So.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I can
tell. It's been a while, man.
It seemed lighter hearted than some of the newer stuff you've shared with us recently.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely, yeah. It's, most of my newer stuff is kind of, well, it's biased, but... it's meant to like rabble ruse, I guess is sure. The best way to say, but
yeah,
it's heartfelt anger and injustice, I guess is what's the polite way to say it.
Sure.
So
yeah, that makes sense. They're justified emotions too, man. They really are.
That's right. Precisely.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, Eric,
well,
so
thanks.
Of course, man. And
oh, good.
Thank you. And what we're going to do is we're going to have another caller, and then we're going to be going to a return engagement and just call back in with your other piece, okay?
All right. Cool. Thanks, guys. Right.
Thank you, man.
I'll be right back.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Bye. Bye.
And that was Eric calling from Texas. Really like that piece. It's cool hearing from him frequently, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And I like that we have poets calling from different walks of life. You know, he's out. I was thinking about this, like, it was the other week.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing something. I remembered kind of what Eric was talking about, what he did. And I'll actually spend time. I know this sounds weird to people listening to the show, but there's times where we'll be sitting there, you and I will be talking about it, or it'll just be, I'll be sitting there just kind of going, yeah, I wonder what Eric's doing right now. Or I wonder what Jim's doing right now.
Yeah.
Or Dennis or Barbara. You know what I mean? You just think about it, or what Stan or Philip are doing right now. And I realize, you know, this is where we congregate every week, but we all have lives outside of here. We all have to take care of all the things that we take care of and live through everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, for some reason, to me, it's cool to remember that they're out there.
Yeah.
You know, and I hope that anybody listening here, especially if you're really struggling, you're having a rough time, I'm not saying it'll help, but if it helps you to reach out to myself or, you know, JT tends to be a little more private and we want to respect that. But, you know, if you're having a rough time and you just want to say, hey, please do, you know,
I'm around.
I don't always respond because I'm in the middle of stuff, but I see everything. And if I need to respond, I definitely will as soon as I can. And, you know, we're out here too. We're out here doing the same stuff you are. And, you know, we're just happy to be a part of it and happy to have your company on Friday nights. But now we're going to travel. We're going to do the international thing once more. We're going to travel all the way to Mumbai to speak with Atul. Let's see if we can get him on the line. Atul, are you there? Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Hello, Atul. This is Michael. You're on the air. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm fine. I can hear you.
Wonderful. Perfect. So you are ready to go. I'm going to step off the stage and let you read, and then we'll speak after, all right?
Yeah, fine. I can go ahead now.
Perfect.
Okay. This is a poem about a romantic attraction I once had, and I probably realized that it was nothing but infatuation. The poem's name is Surrender to Bittersweet Limerence. Starry, starry night, serpentous memories, I take wishful sighs. Those mellifluous smiles are whispers of some magical invocation to the ears of my soul in harmony with the heartbeats of my life. A memory flows of rose petals twirling in the sky. Thousand songbirds, efflorescent flowers, ethereal sunsets, starry constellations, those were the ephemeral hours. This ineffable journey between notes lingers in my heart. The resplendent mask I grace drives away the melancholy. I rub my eyes, see phosphines, a sudden revelation, an ephemeny. Music cradles soul to soul. I realize it was nothing but a surrender to the madness of a bittersweet limerence. End of poem.
Atul, I really liked that one. And, you know, I have to be honest, when you said what it was about, I think, you know, JT and I both laughed saying we know this subject quite well. I think we can identify. That was a wonderful piece. Thank you, Atul. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Of course. Of course. Thank you. And we'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Thank you. Thank
all
you.
Right. Thank you. And that was Atul calling all the way from Mumbai. There's some long delays there. You know, what a wonderful piece. And I love that he can call in.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Atul, thank you. If you're listening again, thank you so much. So this is the end of this segment here. We're going to be heading to a return engagement And in just a moment here, JT, let me know when you're ready, my friend. Okay. It's okay.
Sorry, got to get rid of a song.
I'm good. I'm buying you time, my friend.
I appreciate it.
All right, no problem. Okay, you ready now?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Return engagement. Anybody who wants to call back in, anybody who wants to call in for the first time, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
So we're back here in time for the return engagement. And I'm going to talk about that song that was playing just a second ago, but right now we're going to go in number one to our first caller. Let's do it quickly. Let's go right now to Raj. Hello, Raj. How are you?
Raj, yeah.
Wonderful. You're on the air. We just took you live now. You're on the air. I'm going to give you the stage before we get cut off, and then we'll talk after. All right, sir?
So should I call, should I read right now? When you give me number?
No, read right now. You got the stage.
Okay, all right. I'll just read. 1 second, please. Let me, one second.
It's okay.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I am reading this poem, which has gone for this, this painting contest. It is, title of the poem is Stay Away, painting by the artist Natalia Andreeva. Walking around the lake, step by step, stories unfold. Morning cypress, manly oak, divine cedar, share with each other love, laments, legions. The virtuous glooms, created by light and shade on the winding pathways, temporarily washed away by thin clouds, but the road holds imprints in his heart. The red tiled house in vicinity is a place to share anecdotes of the past and present with layers of gossips around. Artists, poets gather over a cup of coffee, sketch, and words flow. Lake waters remember. Flowing winds spreads gossips gathered from leaves. The madman of the village listens alone in moonlit night, their repartee and shouts, stay away, stay away. Thank you.
Very, very nice, Raj. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Actually, I was stuck up with this technical problem this morning also.
I
could get the one.
Well, we're very happy you could call in. Where are you calling from again today?
I called a little earlier again.
Okay. All right. Raj, thank you so much. We're so happy we're able to hear from you. And, you know, you know you're welcome anytime here, and it's always a pleasure to hear from you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Raj. And that was Raj Kumar calling.
I think he calls from Calcutta.
He's in Calcutta, you think?
Yep.
Okay.
I think that's where he said he
was. Is that where he said he was from? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I know that he's kind of traveled a bit. So
yes.
Okay. Perfect. But Raj, wonderful job. Now we're going to go to another country. We're going to head back to the UK to visit with Titus. Hello, Titus.
Oh, hi. I thought it was going to be number three.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Titus. I talked with Dennis, and he was willing to flip, so.
Okay, I'm ready.
Sorry about surprising you there.
I normally have a good cough before you come up.
If you want, we can stall so you can cough as much as you like.
I don't know if you remember Bruce Lee was talking about being shapeless and being formed, feel like water. He said, he ends his quote by saying, become like water, my friend. And I've taken that philosophy on with regards to when you feel for people who you want to help, you can't go too far, but then on the other hand, you don't want to be sort of like unfeeling. So you want to be, I suppose, using it as a surface tension, like pond skaters on water. So this is what this poem is about. It's from Earth Angels, and it's dedicated to Debbie Altipamarkis. Decanters are we, filled to enchant, and where glories are prepared, exalts in this life of extreme leisure, a somewhat affiliated pleasure, blatantly obscure, since man and his superstition seem to absorb becoming blind, deaf, and obtuse, a life reminding them we disturb inept wandering, the equivocal daydreams which all hopes marai, enlightened with sufficient cause to create for you spiritually divine. Altered states of consciousness differs from the normus res publica levelling, who has succeeded to see good, however sad a proverbial torment seems, the near promixal nudge which give the desired effect, ignitions are levered, emotions will increase one's reflective stimuli, pertaining to self-confidence, attributes, ways sang-froid will build up, aerostic is to indicate a past action, our reference to monitoring data, rhapsode are we to recite uniquely performing epics such as Homer. Man's war of words, in fact, are rambunctious without being a qualm. Annals are assembled, preventive cause distinguishing life as an opera. Key to the literal translation that one's audience in life is, do not ask. Intimately, we are not at liberty to soul search. We're only to embrace sensitive matters relating to the surface tension, like all pond skaters. End of poem.
You know, Titus, you know, I know I don't share a lot of my poetry in places, but there's so much of what you write and what you speak about that really resonates with how I see poetry and how I go after it as well. And this was no exception. Thank you.
I think also working in schools, you tend to, especially like with the kids who are really, what shall we say, not so sure of themselves, they need a bit of self-confidence, I think. Yes. I was very, very good at raising their self-confidence, which I'm very proud of.
That is something to be proud of. I think that's one of the biggest things that needs to be done, and you're right. That is one of my, especially, you know, and music is one piece, but also I teaching drama, and when I get into Shakespeare and things like that, that is so much a part of what, you know, we're teaching at that moment. So okay. I think you know. I can tell.
We feel.
Yes, exactly.
Be water, my friend. Hey,
you as well. I love that quote as well. I've followed it for a long time. So, Titus, yes. Thank you so much for everything. And
yes. I love pleasure. It. Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
And that was Titus Kahn from the UK with a wonderful message from the early morning and from the future. Be like water. You've heard that one before, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it goes great. A lot, in no pun intended, it goes a lot deeper than I think a lot of people give it credit for.
Yeah.
I learned the value of that in actual martial arts, but then also when you get into music, when you get into life, when you get into poetry, into anything. I think the moment you try to become a rock or you become a stiff tree, it's easy to be broken. But the movement is important. All right, now we're going to go to Kentucky, the land of incredible feats on horseback, to visit with Philip.
Indeed. Cheers to that. All right.
Cheers. How you doing, Philip?
I have been really well, man. Busy, been writing quite a bit, and I've been reading a whole lot, which is always a pleasure. So
yeah, well, what is there anything particular you've been reading that's really resonating with you?
Camille Paglium, the okay. one that I mentioned a couple weeks ago. Yeah, I got that from Half Price Books, and I think I mentioned that all their stores are interconnected now. So, and for a very small shipping cost, you can get pretty much any book out there. It's not quite the Library of Congress, but it's really the next best thing. And as soon as I saw that quote by her, I've been reading her from that book, and that's a quote that I use for one of my other poems. And, yeah, she really does resonate. She knows her stuff, and she really knows poetry. And, in fact, she was a student, and her PhD was done under Harold Bloom. I don't know if you're familiar with Harold Bloom.
Yeah.
His Anxiety of Influence really resonated with me when I read that quite a few
decades ago, but wow. He's still relevant. Yeah, so that's been the biggest one. And then I've been also just going to the UK library. Just I'm like 2 miles away from, and it's just I love going over there. It's anyhow, it keeps me in the mood, so to speak.
Wonderful.
So,
I love hearing that.
Yeah,
our libraries around here have gotten really modern. They've kind of redone them to be. There's still books, but a lot of it's about meeting spaces and. It's not we don't have this, at least in this exact area, we don't have the grand library or even the small, just book-centered libraries anymore. There's a beautiful, huge library in downtown Denver, which I haven't been to in a long time. But, I wish we had something that close by that I could go bury my head in as well.
Well, my good sir, I have already extended an invitation to you. If you ever get around this way, you have lodging, and I will definitely show you around, and
right.
I think you would really be impressed by William T. Young, and there are all kinds of beautiful photographs of it, and they've really done it up nicely. But anyway, I will get to it.
Right.
Yeah, the title is ETA, and you know there's some other meanings that perhaps are germane. I don't really know yet. It can be either the seventh letter of the Greek alphabet. It can also be a seventh star in a constellation. And, of course, in this case, I mean it as estimated time of arrival. So here we go. Attend funerals at halftime when the fates take a brief respite from the worrisome toils of mortals. Their amusing machinations and gall, predictably unsatisfied, insatiable. High above in the Colosseum nosebleeds, witness the beauteous referees exiting these lily-laden emerald fields as a becalmed triad. Among empty chairs where the newly anonymous rest, ticking clocks, leaden shadows, bare red brickwork covered in gaudy visual euphemisms, jagged shard peaks nestled, engulfed in gray woolen fog, turbulently frothed black seas, and pristine pale clouds roseate, all bespeak Kabbalistic secrets, affirmed, preordained, spun, allotted, inevitable, as determined by the Morai. The short-haired youngest who unashamedly requests a tampon from behind penicillium turquoise bathroom stalls, their crisp articulate speech reverberant, momentarily housed among vacant marble where civil audiences penultimate gather and brace themselves against the past, bemoaned with dirges and lamentations. Heard distantly a crowd's roar, atropos suggests is reminiscent of cacophonies from ancient Rome. Grand theatrical days, when Pontius Pilate divided up the future, unintentionally impinged upon modern exegesis, accompanied by Paul's long voyages and longer epistles. Cradled in 15th, 1 Corinthians foremost, briefer than lightning flashed unwitnessed, when trumpet's clarion call the dead back incorruptible, some inexplicable feeling weighed in beatific units of fear and trembling. This estranged, haunted consciousness has been imperceptibly changed, a single glimpse through omniscience, disembodied and with no longer a name. And there it is, fellers.
Solid once again, just twists and turns of language we all come to really enjoy from your work.
Oh, I appreciate that. I appreciate you giving me fresh blushes, man.
I feel
like a berry.
That is a T-shirt.
Somebody pluck me.
Okay, so when I come out and meet up with you, I've got to give you a shirt that says you make me feel like a berry.
I would love that.
Perfect.
That would be great.
No, I'm serious about making that happen. We'll work it out.
I would love it. Yeah, seriously. Perfect. You'd be welcome. Be easygoing, easy peasy. We're easygoing, and I'd invite you and let you meet some of my friends, etc. And we'll go out, have a good time, and just make it an easy time for you. You deserve a break today, and not just for McDonald's. So.
Oh, awesome.
All right. Well, I appreciate that.
All right. Hey, you guys, Philip, be good. Thank you so much for having me, and enjoy your day off, and sing well for the graduation, sir.
Hey, thank you, sir. Thank you.
All right. All cheers.
All right. And that was Philip Kahn from Kentucky. Another great piece from him tonight. See, it's awesome because we have so many great poets. But even when we're having a slow night, it's still really solid work. It's really enjoyable. Let's go back to Eric in Texas. Hello, Eric. You there?
Hello, I'm here.
All right, we're back. All right. So whenever you're ready, I'll give you the stage.
All right. Well, I'm going to read the poem, and then I'll tell you who it's dedicated to afterwards. So.
All right.
It's called Ye Old Bard. Ye Old Bard, pluck your guitar and sing your superbly written songs, for you are a modern Orpheus plucking his lyre and singing his elegant songs. Oh, wise and prophetic Rilke, you are. You share the intellect of Percy Bysshe Shelley and the wit of Edward Lear. Believer of truth-seeking you are. Poet you are. Teacher you are. Hedonist you are. Worshipper of no gods nor goddesses you are. Master of your destiny you are. Learner of life you are. Reader of all things you are. Diverse and in-depth interest and knacks you have. Spreader of truths and defiler of canonized fairy tales you are. Ashamed you are not of who you are and what you believe and what you know to be true. Keep being you and keep seeking your intriguing truths about everything. Exalted above all you are. Enlightened about everything you are, an endurer of sins you are. Keep feeding your intellect and your wisdom. Inspirer to all, including myself, you are. Father, creator, and wordsmith you are. Hero you are to your pupils, your colleagues, your students, both in and out of the classroom, your friends, and your family. Admired you will be forever by me. That's in peace. Jeremy, you there?
We weren't sure exactly what was going on. We couldn't hear the end of the poem there, so we were just kind of waiting.
Okay. All right. Where did I cut off at?
I'm not exactly sure. It sounded like the background was still there. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we may have gotten it all.
We might have gotten it all. Did you just let it sit there, right?
Yeah, I said that's okay. The end piece.
Oh,
well, you know, so. I didn't hear the end piece part for some reason. JT and I didn't both hear it. Okay, sorry about that. Yeah. No, that was, we really enjoyed it. We were caught up listening to it, and I just didn't hear the end piece part for some reason. All right.
Okay.
Well, wonderful, man.
Well, maybe I forgot to say it. I don't know.
You're probably fine. We're probably zoning out here and getting all tired over here. You know, a couple old guys. Yeah. I don't know what the hell's going on. Eric, appreciate you, man, and thank you for that work, and thank you for your other piece as well. And we're not going to be back next week, but the week after we'll be back. Okay.
All right. Cool. Well, I wanted to tell you, two things. Actually, I went to a in-person open mic night tonight.
Nice.
And it'll actually be on Facebook. It's recorded.
Oh, cool.
I read three poems, and they loved them all. Of course, I censored myself on one of them. Otherwise, I'm going to go to prison because it's a terrorist attack.
Okay.
And it's fishing that could come true. So I decided not to record myself reading that one part of it.
Okay.
But anyways, this second poem, Ye Old Bard, is actually dedicated to my good friend, Jason Daniel Bailey. And he was actually... I met him at the Socratic
Society of Tyler whenever I first moved to Tyler once I got out of the Navy. I was in Virginia, Norfolk, Virginia, for 4 years. And so it was a pretty interesting thing. We studied and we discussed the dialogues of Socrates and his way of teaching and in answering questions with questions. Anyways, he was really cool, and we became real good friends. He's a professor, and he's also a teacher of English 3 and 4 in high school.
Right on.
As well. And he's pretty awesome. So
that's awesome.
I wanted to write. This is an older poem too. So, but yeah.
I think that's great. I mean, we got it, and it's a, such a gift. And I think the people on the show can recognize it is such a gift when you get around people who can stimulate you intellectually and you feel like you can grow in conversation with.
Oh yeah, definitely. And one last thing real quick. So I just moved into my apartment and I actually had this apartment. I lived in this complex apartment before. And I just moved in at the beginning of this month, actually. And, I just met this guy and he's a neighbor. He's a new neighbor. I don't know if he's 60 or 70 or whatever, but he was in the Navy and he was in the Navy for 20 years. And, we just started talking and, he's very smart and, he did a lot of things I did in the Navy and we have a lot in common and like, we could talk for days and his neighbor, he's not my direct neighbor. I live upstairs. And upstairs sucks because you got to move and you got to go up and down the steps the whole time. But yep. Unfortunately, that's the popular ones that come first. So, But anyways, we were talking a lot and his neighbor told him that we were yelling at each other, which we weren't, and that he didn't know what we were saying because we were using words words with more than two syllables. and I told my neighbor, I was like, dude, it's a free country. Well, I said more bluntly than that, but basically I said, it's a free country, man. Screw you.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So I'm going to talk if I want to talk. Well, we were keeping him up. And he's like, you guys talk way too long. I was like, geez, because we talk for like 3 or 4 hours at a time.
That's
great. So, but you're right. It is. It's great whenever you can talk to people that are on your level and your wavelength. That's for sure. Yeah.
That's for sure, man.
It's awesome. Well, because great, it's one thing, you know, to talk to somebody and they just agree the whole time. And it's another thing for a person to agree, but also put in their two cents too, you know, right. In their opinion. So.
Yep. Yeah, it's true. I think anybody on this show is capable of steamrolling someone else in a conversation, but I really think it's great when there's a back and forth.
Oh yeah, that's the best part.
Yeah.
So whenever I read the great dialogues of Socrates real quick, and I was reading this one and he was talking to this guy, or actually it's not Socrates, it's Plato, but Plato used Socrates as a caricature as well. And it's up to debate. It's up to debate whether Socrates was actually a person or not. And it's up to debate if Socrates was Plato's mentor as well, right. Or vice versa.
Yeah.
But anyways, to get into a long story short, I was reading one of the dialogues and it was talking about this dude, and he was a poet reciter during that time period. And he was saying, Socrates asked him, you know, who's your favorite poet? And, you know, and what do do you recite? And he said, Homer is the best poet of all time. And I recite the Iliad and Odyssey, and I'm sure Homer actually wrote a few other things too. I just don't know about them. But anyways, basically Socrates said, okay, Homer's the best, you know, in your mind and blah, blah, blah. And so he went into these long discussions and explanations, and he's like, so doesn't every poet, you know, because he was asking this guy if,
you know, what he liked about Homer, and he was like, well, he talks about war and love and blah, 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 you know, for a long, long time about a lot of different things. He's like, doesn't every poet talk about that? And then he starts talking about different poets that I've never even heard of before. They're Greek poets, and I guess they're not as famous as Homer. But anyways, eventually this guy decides that Homer's not the best poet because he realizes that lots of poets talk about the same thing. So,
yeah.
It was just an interesting dialogue I just wanted to share with you guys. So.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, Eric, man, thanks so much. Keep doing it, and we love it and looking forward to hearing from you in a couple weeks, hopefully.
Yes, more than likely I'll be here. Your show doesn't start until 9, and most of the time I get off before that, so if I work late. So
Perfect. All right, man. Well, we'll talk to you then, okay?
All right, you guys take care.
Hey, you too, Eric. Thank you.
And, will do.
And, all right. Good night. And that was Eric Kahn from Texas sharing another piece with us tonight. All right. Now we're going to be heading to Connecticut to speak with Barbara. Hello, Barbara. Are you there? Nope. See, now it's moved to call number 5. Hey, Barbara, we're having that phone issue again. If you could hang up and call us right back, we can do it. Mama, it's also probably going to be the situation with you. And Dennis, it's also very possible. So just kind of keep that in mind. All right. So we're waiting for Barbara's call back as soon as she calls back. And here she is. Hello, Barbara.
Hey.
All right, we can hear you now.
Okay. So this poem that I am reading is, I read it here before, but I'm reading it in honor of its being published in the Poets Attic Anthology 2, which is coming to me in the mail soon, and it's out so everybody can buy it. And it's from the Poets Attic. And 5 of my poems are in there. And I guess I've read every one of them, so you'll probably recognize them if you get it. And it's called The Knowledge of Flowers. I read it, I don't remember when, but I think I wrote it in 2016, so people may or may not remember it. The Knowledge of Flowers. Each flower grows at its own rate, pushing its luxurious head up from the soil and opening its lustrous petals to the glory of the sun. And the grace with which these delicate flowers move into this world shows the simplicity of nature's patterns. Each bud opens at its own pace, and nothing interferes with this process except the weeds, which proliferate unless you pluck them from the rich soil. And we can learn a lot of things from the flowers, as Disney's lavish cartoon version of Alice in Wonderland reminds us when we catch a glimpse of the lush garden. What we can learn is the simplicity of beauty as the flowers robe themselves in primary colors and proliferate in technicolor as if they were preening at an award show. Just like celebrities gather in fashionable clothes emphasizing grace and simplicity, we can see the curves of the tulips and the scallops on the peonies as they sway in the breeze. Designers rely on the concepts of nature and copy the exquisite forms into their own work, creating creations for which people will swoon. And the one that will get the most attention will be closest to the most expressive flower in the garden, the gladiola, bobbing and stretching to the sun with its delicate flowers along the stem. The rays will emanate from the glittering eye as they exclaim, how graceful and such simplicity. It is the true essence of fashion. What was your inspiration? And the designer will smile and say, you can learn a lot of things from the flowers. End poem.
I really like that, Barbara.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, there's, you know, that's
I wish you could see it here. There are some places in Colorado right now, in Denver specifically. There are so many flowers. It is absolutely gorgeous. My backyard is filled with lilacs. And
it's lilac season.
And they're just these gigantic bushes here, and it's just fantastic.
I know. We had some rain lately, and some of the flowers got kind of, rained on, but I'm hoping that they'll come back.
Usually water is a good thing, though. Hopefully it works out.
Well, we hope so, but this was a downpour.
Oh, I see.
The East Coast got hit pretty good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We really got plummeted, and some of the tree limbs, and I was loving it that the dogwoods were blooming, and the apple blossoms were blooming, and the cherry blossoms, and now, the trees have been hit hard.
Yeah.
So, can we say nature sometimes gives us a kick?
nature laughs last.
Yep.
And that's a term that I heard and I love. Nature laughs last.
Yeah, anyway, that was my take on, I don't know. I was watching one of these fashion shows or something about fashion, and I realized that, fashion and flowers are not so, unlike. They actually do look alike, so that's where that inspiration came from.
Okay.
Anyway, going to get off the phone, and thank you. I got here late, but it was a really good show, even with the sparsity of people in the chat room. It's like quality versus quantity,
Yeah, for sure. Okay. I think the show's always that way, but Barbara, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Take care, and I thought that thing that you told people that they could get in touch with you was very compassionate.
Well, thank you.
Okay, talk to you later.
Okay, we'll talk to you later, Barbara.
In 2 weeks.
Okay.
2 weeks.
Right. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut, sharing another lovely, lovely piece with us. Now, coming up next is Mama Ola Deji. Let's take her live on the line. Hello, Mama.
Yes, okay.
All right, you are alive on the air.
Yes. I'm going to do a piece called When My Words Are More Than Heard. But I wanted to say something about old friends, because if you go to my entertainment bio on my page, mm-hmm. which they spoke about last night, and today when I went to my page to look at the comments, there was one of my old friends on there, and I had spoke about something I had did back in the 60s. I used to write jingles for radio programs and for commercials. And I was about, 15. And sometimes me and my friends, we would sing the ditties or the jingles or whatever that we had wrote. And it was just so touching. One of my friends, she put it on there, do-wah, ditty. Listen to the sound of the soulful city.
Mm, I like it.
And that was one of my jingles. And just to think that someone that was still alive yet remembered. It was just, I couldn't believe I saw that up there. I'm like, oh, no. I said, you have a brain like a sponge. I just wanted to share that. Old friends are wonderful.
Yeah.
We could all be blessed to have old friends around that remember us when we were kids. That would be the greatest thing.
That's true.
So I was going to say. Anyway, the name of my piece is called When Words Are More Than Heard. When My Words Are More Than Heard. When my words act as proverbs. When my verbs are actually heard. When the simple become wise. When my people listen to reason and no longer follow folly. When my adjectives invoke action instead of reaction. When young eyes are opened to the riddles of the wise. When mother's words are adhered to. When exhortations means more than mere suggestions. Recognizing it as a calling force, a coming near. sure those who have ears will no longer hate knowledge, but embrace my words as wise sons and daughters. Children of my proverbs will use my words to form shields against the wicked ones, ones who seek to destroy you. So gather together as sticks in a bundle, noticing what we have in common, as we are stronger as one. When my words call you away from harm, and you ignore the warnings, there will be some who will take my words trill and throw the solutions in the garbage as wasted verbiage. My proverbs need now be heard and heeded. Not wait until you realize they are needed. Do not look for me in the midst of the storm, for I and I shall be gone, leaving the silence on in peace.
That was a wonderful piece.
Thank you, my darlings. Yeah. I love you. Thank you so much.
We love you, too. And we really appreciate your friendship and your company on these Friday nights. It does mean a lot to us.
And I'm going to miss you all next week, but whatever you're doing, do it to the best of your ability and have a good time doing it.
I'll do my best. I'll be singing to a bunch of graduating eighth graders, okay?
That's cool. That's cool. You can play a guitar for him.
I'm doing more opera style stuff that time. So I'll be standing up in front of him with my mother, who was the music teacher there before I was, playing piano.
That's gonna be I would love to. Are they gonna take video?
Someone might. I'm sure someone will. If there is, I'll send you a link privately. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mama. All right. Good night. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. Another strong, strong piece. Now, that's a cue for Stan. Stan from Alabama. Give us a call if you could, my friend. All right. It's been a good show.
Yeah, it has.
You know what? It's gone longer than I thought it was going to go.
Yeah.
Man, it's also because we have a pretty strong return engagement happening here.
Yeah, we do.
I can only imagine what it would have been. Well, I mean, I think we've had a little bit more room to talk tonight, too.
Yeah.
Maybe that's helped it. Let's go now to Stan. Who's calling in? Hello, Stan.
Hello, it's great to be back. Hey, and really,
come on.
I had to do it, and I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
I'm actually going to get a jump on the Poet of the Month, and I have James to thank for it.
Oh, yeah. All right. And James picked it up.
I didn't write down who it was, but he gave me the biggest, fattest hint you could give me.
Oh, did he? All right. Well, that's fair enough. He guessed it. So good for him.
Yes.
All right.
So we're going to be hearing Boy Breaking Glass by Gwendolyn Brooks. And before the poem even starts, there's a little note here that says, to Mark Crawford, from whom the commission. And here's the poem. Whose broken window is a cry of art, success, that winks aware as elegance, as a treasonable fate. It's raw, it's sonic, it's bold-eyed premiere. Our beautiful flaw and terrible ornament, our barbarous and metal little man, I shall create, if not a note, a whole, if not an overture, a desecration. Full of pepper and light and salt and night and cargoes. Don't go down the plank if you see there's no extension. Each to his grief, each to his loneliness, and fidgety revenge. Nobody knew where I was, and now I am no longer there. The only sanity is a cup of tea. The music is in minors. Each one other is having different weather. It was you, It was you who threw away my name. And this is everything I have for me. Who has not Congress, Lobster, Love, Luau, the Regency Room, the Statue of Liberty, Runs? A sloppy amalgamation. A mistake. A cliff. A hymn. A snare. And an ex- a hymn. A stare. And an exceeding sun. And peace. Oh, man, I can't believe that. He rocked it
no,
again.
It was just fine. It was just fine. Man, I like that. Yeah, this is good stuff. Good stuff, Stan.
I know. And I know she's written others that are really very famous and all that.
Yeah.
But I do like to find these little nuggets in the corner. I really do.
That's a good one. And there's something that I got to recommend just because you bring it up here. And hearing your voice makes me think about listening to, you know, professional recordings and stuff, because I think you have such a great delivery. There is a book, an audio book. I would say an audiobook specifically that would just surprise the hell out of me that I found. It is called Poet's Corner, and it was put together by none other than John Lithgow, the actor.
Really?
And it is fantastic. It goes for it. It samples great 50 poets from all across the English language over time. And he has different people read them, from Morgan Freeman to the Scottish actor Billy Connolly reading Robert Burns. Yeah, I mean, it's just so good, and it covers so many different types of poetry, and it has been probably the best audiobook purchase I've bought in the last year and a half, and I keep going back to it and listening over and over and over again, because he describes certain poets and showcases one or two pieces by them. Absolutely great. And I just couldn't recommend that enough. But it just reminded me hearing you, Stan, and that's kind of where I first heard Gwendolyn as well.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah. Anyway, great work, though. And thank you for reading that. And I'm glad that you got the preemptive jump. It's good to start hearing her work early.
My pleasure.
All right.
And on to the next.
All right. Thank you, Stan.
Thank you.
All right. Good night. And that was Stan Conn from Alabama. Man, good stuff. Good stuff. You know, I was thinking about it, too, and I mentioned this last month. We're going through these poets of the month, and I'm like, it's been a while since we had a female poet. We've got to have a female poet. Come on now. You know, what is this? So I think this will be one of many that will be coming up, I think, in the next few months.
Yeah.
All right, now we're going to head to Dennis in Michigan, who so kindly gave his spot to Raj. And Dennis, it sounds like we're having that same issue. So if you can hear us, please hang up and just call us right back. We will take you live on the air. It was really nice of him to give Raj that spot. I really, really do appreciate it. All right. Hopefully he heard us here.
Yep.
Now, by the way, I also have a short submission from Jim to read at the end of this as well. But here comes Dennis. Let's take him live. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, I'm back.
All right, great. sorry about having to have you call us back, and thank you so much for generously giving your spot to Raj so he could read.
My pleasure. It's always good to share. I learned that at an early age.
Your teacher did their job.
Yes, they did. So did my mama.
Very good, very good.
That's a lot of good life lessons there.
You know, I think I got quite a few from my mother as well, that's for sure.
Yeah, we were blessed.
Yeah, we were. And, you know, I looked in the chat room and I saw that you said that you've been to the Denver Library as well. So
it was a great place to visit. I was glad. I went to the art museum there across the way from it. Then I wandered into the library and looked around and I'd like to spend more time there my next visit.
Well, wonderful. Yeah, I mean, there's a whole section there in the library that are, at least from when last time I was there, a really big place that was just all antique books and books from the 19th century and things like that. And it's fantastic stuff.
And you were talking about that John Lithgow audio book on
Poet's Corner.
Poetry.
Yeah.
Boy, is that wonderful. I have a copy of that, and it's great listening. Him reading poetry.
Yeah.
And a lot of famous people reading poetry, and they really dig in and really share a lot of good stuff. If anybody has a chance to get that, it'd be well worth their time.
See, yep, and I can completely concur with that, Dennis. It was just such a surprise at how good that was.
Yes, was to me too.
Somehow I didn't tie John Lithgow and poetry together, because I guess I remember him as a villain in like the Santa Claus movie in the early 80s.
I remember him from what was that, the Harry Munster there?
Harry the Hendersons. Yeah, see, you just Harry don't tie that. Henderson. You don't tie that with poetry. Exactly. All right. Dennis, I'm going to give you the floor, okay?
All right. Well, I dug in and grabbed a poem from the Poem of the Month. Whatever it was. And I'll read a poem. The title is A Song in the Front Yard. I've stayed in the front yard all my life. I want to peek at the back, where it's rough and untended and hungry weeds grow. The girl gets sick of a rose. I want to go in the backyard now, and maybe down the alley to where the charity children play. I want a good time today. They do some wonderful things. They have some wonderful times. My mother sneers, but I say it's fine. How they don't have to go in at 8:45. My mother, she tells me that Johnny May will grow up to be a bad woman, that George will be taken to jail soon or late on account of last winter. He stole our back gate. But I say, it's fine. Honest, I do. And I'd like to be a bad woman, too. And wear the brave stockings of night black lace and strut down the street with paint on my face. End of poem, a poem by Gwendolyn Brooks.
Man, you chose a great one there, didn't you?
It's something you can relate to. She's sharing her humanity, and we all have our desires to look across the fence and see what other people are doing. The grass is always greener, you know.
It's true, and you know, I think as I dove farther into Gwendolyn Brooks' stuff, you know, she really is. I mean, I think that humanity, or her showing her humanity, is such a strong part of who she is and what she does and what she...
There's an honesty about her writing that shines, you know, and that's probably what makes helps her to stand out.
I would agree. I would agree with that, absolutely.
Good choice for Poet of the Month, and once again, thank you for sharing poets we may not have read otherwise.
Well, happily.
I've read a few of her poems before, but now I have even a more of a reason to dig in and look at some of the great stuff she's left behind for us. Hey. So those leftover treasures just left there for us to find.
Exactly. Well, hey, perfect. Thank you, Dennis. And please, if you get a chance, give us a call. Send us a message. We'd love to, if you have time, no pressure, but if you have time, we'd love to meet up with you at least and have a meal or something.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
No promises, of course, but
no worries.
We'll see what we can do about that.
All right.
And that would be a grand time for me. I really enjoyed your company last time I was in town, and you were so very kind to me, and it was all appreciated, and I look forward to any future opportunities we have together, whether it's this time or maybe even the next time.
Sure. Sounds
it's
good.
It's all good.
Yeah, exactly. No, no pressure at all. No, nothing to worry about. Just an open invitation. So,
yes.
Well, at any rate, have a safe trip, and we'll talk to you as soon as we can.
Yes, and you'll be hearing from me.
Sounds good.
Once again, thank you for sharing this format. And I know a show like this takes a lot of work and sacrifice, and we really appreciate it. We don't say it enough. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I don't know that there's anybody behind me.
Just a submission.
Maybe the end of the show, but the submissions are good too. Every poem is good. So I'm going to step aside and let the next submission step up to the mic.
All right.
I'm going to say God bless.
God bless, Dennis. Thank you. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan, wrapping up the live call-in segment of the show for the return engagement anyway. And I have one last piece to leave us with. This is another submission from Jim, which I really like. It's a short one. It's called Her Literary Lover. She falls asleep, a book on her bed, dreaming blissful dreams there in the arms of her literary lover. And she's had many in her day, all poetry and prose in every genre. Comfort comes to her on the pages. She reads to herself alone, more so than any living soul she knows, here on earth, under heaven. And that was Her Literary Lover by Jim Rothline. Thank you, Jim. And by the way, anybody listening who might want to submit poetry, if you'd like to, just send it to us at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com, or you can go to the contact form on our page and send it there. Those are the only two ways to submit poetry to the show. Now, I want to say thank you so much for the show. It wasn't a big one, but it was a really quality, like you said, and I think it was really enjoyable. So from myself, from JT, from Ursa, the studio dog, and Novia, the studio cat, thank you for a wonderful evening. Keep writing, and we will see you in 2 weeks' time on June 1st. Have a wonderful, wonderful few weeks. We'll see you next time.